What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
How are we doing, everybody? Welcome back to the Sean Atwood Channel. I'm Ron Swanson, and I'm joined here by Dan from World of Astrology, the World Astrology Report. I do apologize. And I mean, listen, every one of your thumbnails on your channel is a subject that excites me, Dan. Okay, it's off-world, it's aliens, it's covered up, it's Egypt, it's how all of this is used to control us all, right? But before we delve into it, Dan, tell us a bit about yourself. Introduce us to those people who don't know who you are. Let us know.
Well, I'm Dan Waits. I'm the host of World Astrology Report, which is a channel focused on world events and astrology. And essentially what I'm doing is I'm using historical research and research into cycles to try and understand the times that we're living through and what's coming in the future.
And What do you think is the biggest misconception with people when it comes to astrology? Because I imagine there's a surface level to it, right? Where you can kind of graze the surface and get some information. But I imagine it just continues to just delve into the pits of vastness, I imagine, Dan. Can you just sort of tell us what the most common misconception about it all is?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think that what most people who haven't investigated astrology think astrology is perhaps the kind of sun sign horoscopes that you see in the newspaper. Yep. Where, you know, the idea is that there are essentially 12 different types of people and we're all going to have the same kind of day. And that's just a kind of corruption or bastardization of what real astrology is. Okay. Real astrology is an extremely complex art. You know, you can never stop studying it because, you know, we're trying to do something extremely difficult. We're basically trying to peer into the mind of God and know what's coming in the future. And, you know, it's a difficult thing. And there are a ton of techniques and you have to practice a hell of a lot. And it's, you know, it's a really complex subject. But I think I sometimes wonder if those kind of those sun sign horoscopes are put out there into the world almost as a kind of sort of blind or deception to make people think that astrology is just this kind of silly, harmless bit of fun or sort of relic from the past, when it's actually something quite serious and quite powerful.
And I mean, how grand is the gap between fun star signs and peering into the mind of God? I mean, that seems to be quite a massive scale, right?
So it's enormous.
And okay, let's get our foot in a grip here, and let's talk about aliens. All right, everyone's freaking out about aliens right now. Okay, and I imagine with astrology there has to be a list of unexplainable, like there must be some high level unexplainable things that people have discovered or moments where things don't line up when you're using known sciences. Can you take us through any events like that you know of, then?
Well, just, you know, if you go back through the history of the UFO phenomenon, you can do that with respect to astrology, because what we're doing in astrology is we're basically studying cycles and looking at when we're at certain important times in cycles, like, for example, conjunctions and so forth. So what we're doing is we're tracing the evolution of cycles, and you can see certain themes being resonant to certain cycles. So what I'm doing in my work usually is I'm looking back into the past and seeing, like, when did this UFO phenomenon thing emerge into consciousness, and then seeing what cycles it's linked to and then tracing it over time. And one of the things that really stuck out to me in my research is that you can trace the UFOs back as far back as you like, because people have always seen lights in the sky, but it only really emerged into its kind of modern form where people believe that they're seeing technology in the sky, probably in the 1890s with the mystery airship wave, where there was this massive wave of sightings of airships in the skies in America years before those were actually real things. And there were newspaper cuttings, hundreds of them, of people reporting seeing these things in America and then beyond. And so that's a kind of like early emergence of the UFO phenomenon. But it happened at a really cyclically important time. It happened at the time of a big conjunction of Pluto and Neptune, which only happens every 500 years.
Okay.
And the fact that when you get something like that happening at the time of a conjunction, you kind of have, when you're doing astrological research, that clues you into the fact that there's something about the cycle that we're living through where that theme is going to keep coming up, and the development of it is kind of what's going to happen over the course of the cycle. So I've been tracing the UFO phenomenon and seeing how it's linked to certain cycles. And you can kind of predict when it's going to come into consciousness again, which is what I've been trying to do in my work over the last few years.
I mean, it's fascinating. And we often talk about the things that are just floating around our planet that we don't know what they are. There's a lot of bizarre debris and the black knight looking thing and all of this. And throughout history, right, we've obviously seen various carvings, right? We see hieroglyphics and we see all kinds of weird things that look like men with helmets on. And how prevalent are the teachings of the past in what you're doing now? How much knowledge lines up with things that couldn't have been known back then? You know, for example, when you realize that the pyramids all line up with stars and things like this, like, how could they have known that? How much of the knowledge back then is still used now, and how do they justify this vastness that they seem to have had back there with regards to it all?
So a lot of the stuff the ideas that we're using in astrology still today go back thousands of years. And okay. Astrology essentially goes back to the ancient Egyptians and the ancient Babylonians, both of whom had a kind of observational star science. And there are Sumerian cuneiform tablets going back, several thousand years, where you can see that really ancient astrologers are observing what's happening in the sky and seeing how it coincides with stuff that's actually happening to their civilization. So there are these ancient tablets that will say things like, you know, when the planet Mars is rising, a king will die, or, you know, things of that nature. So there's a very kind of maybe simplified version of astrology going back all that time. But a lot of the principles that they were using back then, we still use today. And so astrology is a genuinely ancient science, even though we're able to kind of update it a bit with the research we can do now. And, you know, we've got modern software, but a lot of the fundamental principles, they're really ancient.
Yeah. I mean, do you find that you are updating, or is it more just refining what has been laid out? You know,
there's a bit, yeah, it's a bit of both. It's kind of like you have very traditionalist astrologers who are really trying to recover how astrology was a long time ago. And they're really focused on trying to reconstruct that. And often they're people who assume that probably the original science was kind of more pure, and it's been kind of diluted over time. Okay. What we have now isn't as effective. Yeah. Whereas you also have very like modernist astrologers who are coming up with new techniques and new principles and are trying to reinvent everything almost from first principles. So there's a bit of both. And I think probably most astrologers are doing both of those things. You're kind of pulling techniques from the past, but then also doing your own research and updating stuff, because you know, a lot of stuff that's happening today, you know, like things like AI and technology, you know, information technology and so forth, there weren't really astrological principles for interpreting back in the past, even though in a sort of archetypal sense, things don't change. They, you know, there are kind of always updates, and yeah, so we're always moving astrology forward whilst still using the stuff from the past, basically.
Okay, well, look, let's pivot into the 6,000 year, the Great Reset, right? The year, the 6,000, and there's meant to be a 12,000 one as well, but can you just fill us in on the 6,000 year reset?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the cycles that we track in astrology is the cycle of Saturn and Neptune. And basically what it means is that every 36 years, Saturn and Neptune meet in the sky and form what we call a conjunction. And whenever we do this, we tend to see resets to the world order. So we're actually experiencing one of these conjunctions right now. And you might, I mean, you might agree that it feels like the world order is being reset as we're speaking. 36 years ago, or just over, takes us back to 1989, when we had the fall of the Berlin Wall. You go, you can keep going back over and over to see different eras of world history, which are kind of marked by these conjunctions. Now, that's just any old Saturn-Neptune conjunction. But the interesting thing is that the one we're experiencing now is happening in the very first degree of the entire zodiac. So there are 360 degrees in the zodiac. And the conjunction that we just saw in February happened in the very first one. And that hasn't happened for 6,000 years, a little bit over 6,000 years. So if you trace back when the last time that happened, it was about 4,360 BC, which is right around the time that some really interesting stuff was happening in the Middle East, in ancient Sumer. It was basically, this was when the first cities were emerged. Indeed, the first city, Uruk, it is dated back to about that time. So it seems that this reset that happened last time brought the rise of like urban civilization. The other interesting thing, though, is that you can also trace back to that time and find that around the time of that conjunction, there was an invention of a pretty revolutionary technology, which is the cylinder seal, which was basically this roughly inch-long stone cylinder, which would have different figures and images, maybe people, animals, stars, things like this carved onto it. And if you were an official in the Sumerian civilization, say living in Uruk, the first city, you might have one of these cylinder seals. And you would, what you would do is, if you were validating transactions, like, for example, you were distributing grain from the temple, you would roll your cylinder seal over wet clay, and it would make an indentation, and that would identify you as the person who validated the technology, the transaction. So Okay. What we're looking at is at the last time this conjunction happened, yep, we had the first city emerging and we had this revolutionary identification technology, which is something that eventually evolved into writing in Sumeria. But the interesting thing is, if you look at what's happening in our world right now, you probably know that the theme of identification and sort of revolutionary identification technology is coming up once again, right now, when we're having another one of these conjunctions in the first degree of the zodiac.
So, when we're talking about these, it seems awfully like some of these things can't happen without something interfering with the natural process of stuff, right? It seems like humans seem to go from nothing burgers to having these moments of, oh, here's a little bit of technology, or here's a little bit of, you know, DNA that we can't explain. And it seems like we always, I mean, I don't know if I'm the only one, but it does feel like we're getting nudged along by something. And what's your take on that? I mean, are we just evolved monkeys on a ball spinning through space, and it's just nature being nature? Or do you think there's more to us?
I think there's definitely more to us. If you study astrology, what you come to learn about are sort of hidden forces that seem to drive society from beneath. So it seems like there are certain intelligences that are operating beneath the surface of reality that are working through us. And if you read or listen to quite a lot of great spiritual teachers, they'll talk about this, that there are essentially, that there's a, this isn't a kind of like dead cosmos with just a load of, you know, mud flying around the universe. You know, it's alive with spirit, essentially, and that fundamentally what's fundamental is consciousness and mind, rather than matter. So when you study astrology, you start to kind of glimpse that, you start to see that there's intelligence in the way that things unfold. And it makes, or it certainly gave me the conviction that there's a lot more going on, and that there are essentially, yeah, hidden intelligences and spirit working through us.
How, this is going to be a bit of a weird question. Is there any relevance to consciousness, right, within all of the grandness of astrology, the universe? How much does observing and the conscious mind take part in all of this? And that might be a bit of a, an out there question, right? But
I feel like, I mean, astrology is, it's essentially a science of consciousness. It tells us how conscious experience is going to change over time. So, for example, if you're experiencing a transit of Saturn, you're probably going to have the conscious experience of feeling like you're under pressure, maybe, or you're like bearing a burden, or you are limited or denied. And that's a difficult way. It's difficult to boil that down into like sort of material effects, but it's certainly a conscious effect. And that's a little bit what astrology is all about. It's about conscious experience. And you know, the whole idea is the Hermetic dictum, which is as above, so below. So essentially astrology says that the conscious experience that we have is reflected in the cosmos itself, which is essentially, you know, a great mind. And what we do when we study astrology, you know, I'm not psychic or anything like that. I don't claim to be. I'm just somebody who's studying patterns and studying rules that you can, you know, basically anybody can learn.
Yeah, but data and pattern are a fascinating thing, Dan. It's like, I'm a data. I love data and I love patterns. It doesn't matter if it's someone's morning routine, right? And the fascination of repetition and the comfort of doing everything the same way, or if it's something a little less, something a bit more exciting, right? My whole background is human, detecting human patterns and human behavior. And when you see, when you're looking out into the cosmos, right, and you're doing your thing, right, you got your astrology on hard, right? Have you ever had moments where you're seeing things lining up now that are catastrophic, right? I mean, we often talk about the weird layers of soil, right? That especially in America, right? There was some big fire that took place a long time ago that, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was an asteroid. Maybe, I don't know what it was. But we see inconsistencies with what we're told and what we see in the earth. How much nonsense, right, are we being spoon-fed about the realities of astrology, the universe, compared to just what's under our feet?
I think we're fed a lot of nonsense about how reality actually works, honestly.
Okay, brilliant. So we don't even have to leave the planet before the nonsense on this begins, right? Okay, I'm with you.
I think most people's heads are full of nonsense. And, you know, we're all, you know, any of us that are kind of on the path, who are seekers, we're just trying to kind of get a little bit closer to the truth. It's very difficult to do that. And to, you know, and if you start to think that you've figured it all out, then you're probably going to run into trouble, because we never really get there. But all we can try and do is just get a little bit closer to the truth. And one of the things that, you know, that blew my mind just from realizing that astrology actually works, because I never used to believe that at all. You know, I grew up thinking it was probably nothing, probably just some silly, like say, relic of the past. But when you realize it works, then you realize that the way that reality functions is not at all how most people imagine it. It's not how we're taught to think about the world. And then the weird thing about the world now is that most people still think or assume that things work in a very kind of mechanistic, materialistic way. You know, there are forces that exert themselves on us, and essentially we're living in this kind of sort of dead universe, but we happen to be these kind of, you know, conscious by some sort of cosmic miracle.
Well, I mean, it's not just that, Dan, right? I mean, it's like, if another planet had a spider living on it, we'd all frick it. That would be like the biggest discovery ever. it's not just the case that we're humans walking around. It's the vast extent of our planet and how much of a freak show it is compared to the rest of the balls that are in our universe, allegedly, because it all seems a bit too perfect. Like, we've got birds and water and breezes and like trees. That's very distracting, Dan. The people of this planet, it's very much like, oh, this is a lovely place. I'm not going to have to look up for any reason. That's the feeling that I get from our planet. It seems very convenient and very entertaining and very distracting compared to, say, a molten ball where there's raining, it's raining diamonds and the air's lava. Do you see what I'm saying? It seems a bit too convenient. So what's your take on that? Because happy accident seems a bit too, I don't know what the word is, but it's too convenient, you know?
You know, I've come to believe that that we're essentially living in a school, and that's basically what the world is. You know, it's a place where you are subjected to certain experiences, and you know, a lot of them pretty much things that are beyond your control, but not all of them. And you're essentially here to learn, here to face through challenges, here to try to learn and grow from them. I don't know who started this thing or why, but that's the lesson that I've got just from studying astrology, essentially, because you start to see that there seems to be intelligence to what's happening. You know, I don't really believe it's all just a distraction. Although I could be wrong. I don't know what we're doing here either, for sure. But that's just my hunch, my suspicion from what I've gathered from studying astrology and reading a ton of people's charts and seeing how different lives can play out and how people can also sort of turn things around once they've learned the lessons that they've been asked to learn through certain things.
I mean, it kind of goes from science to sounding very mystical very fast, Dan. I'm not going to lie, right? Like, it does go very, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm totally fine with that. You're in a safe place for the mystical world here. I know more about that than the science world. But with that kind of overview, right, if you were an evil cabal-membered bloodline overlord, right, how would you use all this information against us? Because I imagine if you're able to do what you're able to do, Dan, right, and you're getting good results, if you had a massive budget, a government budget, right, I'm assuming there's going to be tools and toys and gizmos that'll help astrologize better, or is it not the case? So what could they be doing? Is it a case of them knowing what's coming and knowing before us? Is that the great weaponization of this?
It could be that, or it could be something even more sinister. I think, you know, I think about this quite a bit, and you know, I know astrology works, and most people in the astrology community obviously believe that. I don't expect everybody who's, you know, watching this and isn't exposed to it to necessarily believe me when I say that, but what I will say is that there are quite a lot of examples of very famous, powerful people who we know used astrology. For example, you know, Ronald Reagan, of course, had an astrologer, Joan Quigley. There's that famous quote from J.P. Morgan, the famous banker, which is that millionaires don't use astrology, billionaires do. And there are lots more examples. And I'm also thinking of the Future Forecasting Group, the team of remote viewers. They're quite well known on YouTube. And they did a viewing of Klaus Schwab, the former head of the World Economic Forum. And they found in their remote viewing, and they did a blind remote viewing, so they weren't told, you're looking at Klaus Schwab. They're like, here's the target, tell us what you perceive about this target. And they saw this figure, and they, one of them drew a person that looked very much like Klaus Schwab, but they, you know, at least more than one of them, I think a couple of them, saw that he was supposedly using astrology. He had people draw up astrological charts for him. And I find that pretty interesting, considering, you know, in 2020 we had this pandemic, and just a few months into it, Klaus rolls out his Great Reset plan. And it was almost as if, you know, he had it ready. It was a bit too soon to have this thing put together and thought through properly. And you know, you could only assume if he really was using astrology, he would know that was coming, because most astrologers will be able to tell you that in 2020 there was a massive pileup of planets, including a conjunction of Saturn and Pluto, which tend to coincide with really difficult events. So a lot of astrologers saw 2020 coming. They saw really difficult events coming. So I think it's quite likely that at least some people in that like echelon of society are using astrology. Now, whether they're, I doubt that they're just using it to kind of say, oh, something might happen. I think there's probably an element of rolling things out, knowing that what the kind of sort of weather is going to be like. So
yeah, yeah. Well, I think it's interesting, right? Because at the beginning we talked about the sun and moon and the star signs, right? And how to the really serious astrology people that might seem a bit silly, right? But we've all had moments, Dan, where we picked up a newspaper and went, "That is talking about me today. That astrology thing is talking to me," right? So, with that in mind, if we then upscale the newspaper clipping version of astrology, and we upscale that to a percentage of the human populace, let's say we've got 80% accuracy, right, on how a certain demographic is going to act on a certain day or month, like, it kind of instantly becomes terrifying in your mind now, because sure, it's all fun and games when you're reading that, hey, Jupiter is coming into Saturn, and you want to talk to a woman named Sally, and you want to look out for a dog with one, like, all of that stuff's cool, because we've all had moments where we're like, shit, I just seen a girl named Susan. I just seen that one-eyed dog. So if we've got a certain percentage of accuracy on that, right, and then we've got endless government budget, we've got evil bloodlines, we've got the control, and then one thing that when I asked you about the consciousness, Dan, right, is because what I'm hearing right now, the big thing is consciousness is the currency of the world. This is what they're controlling. This is, well, that's exactly how you would do it. You would have to know if all of the big balls spinning around our big ball, if they get into a certain shape, and over history, a certain demographic of people have reacted away to that. That is the control through astrology. I mean, that's just on the basic bitch level, Dan, that I can understand. I'm sure there's a vastness, okay, that I don't understand. But if we've got 12, that's the first step, I imagine that there's going to be an outer ring to those 12, and then an outer ring to that outer ring, that then completely starts splitting the hairs of the 12 until we can whittle it down to the point where if you've got a billion gajillion dollar budget and two Russian scientists hooked up to the Matrix trying to pump out facts and control people, this seems to be the way we can do it, because we've already felt it from picking up a newspaper.
Yeah, you know, you might be onto something there. I would not be that surprised if certain parties, probably in, say, the upper echelons of banking, finance, politics, etc., probably some of the people I would imagine might have teams of astrologers.
It could also
and are using AI and, you know, extremely powerful AI tools and all sorts to essentially just process every bit of data. And they're probably not just doing it with astrology, right? They've probably got experts, you'd imagine, kind of feeding them in info and predictions about all sorts of different areas. But if they're able to identify, if they believe in astrology, then they could quite easily have teams of astrologers. Yeah. I could certainly believe that. And then they're like, okay, we need to roll out some kind of big reset at this point. The weather's saying something like that's going to happen, so we need to be on top of that. Like, if something's going to happen now, we want to be in control of it. We want to make sure that it rolls out to our benefit, basically.
Well, I mean, keep in mind as well, there's like, what, 8.5 billion of us. If you're a gambling man, right, and I give you a 15% return of 8.5 billion, right, and those are your returns off of the estimates that of the human control you can get on a demographic from astrology, that's a big return, bro. Like 15% or 10%, even 5% of 8.5 billion You see what I mean? And if that anyway, it's a fast. This is now going to be what is living in my head rent free now. I just want you to know that, Dan. Now, the missing month. Okay, the old way we used to tell time, the way that people apparently we used to have 13 months. Now we have 12 months. What's your take on that? And does it really? Because technically, I would imagine time and that calendar are all man-made. In the relevance of the cosmos, none of that really matters, I would imagine, right? But give me your take on that, because I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Well, months aren't really man-made, you know. Months are
okay.
Yeah, I mean they're based on the moon and.
Okay, sorry, you are talking to a dumbass here, Dan. Just to make clear, you are talking to an uneducated fool on this subject. So I do apologize.
No worries. But I mean, a lot of people don't know this, but yeah, there are 12 or 13 new moons each year. So actually the month and the even the word moon, it comes from moon.
Okay, yeah. I feel really stupid, Dan. I'm not going to lie. I wish I could dial back 5 seconds and have thought about what I said there for a second. But yeah, no, carry on with what you're saying, please.
So there is actually something natural to these things. Okay. And, you know, a week is just dividing that month, which is again is a kind of naturally occurring division of time into four, which is, you know, a sort of fairly kind of obvious way to divide it. So yeah, there's actually a lot of these things ultimately derive from observation of natural cycles. And I think, you know, probably in really ancient times, ancient people would have completely relied on the astrology and the movement of the stars to time things. And they still do that with quite a lot of, you know, the major religions of the world. They time their festivals and events, a time to, you know, a certain full moon of the year or certain new moon. So this stuff is actually kind of quite deeply embedded into human society. We just don't quite realize it. I mean, even the days of the week, they're all named for the planets. So this stuff is like actually really embedded into our everyday lives, even if we don't always know how.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's kind of wild, because do you think, though, that, and again, I'm it's not really a big thing for me, but if you don't have an answer, it's fine. But the fact that there was 13 months, do you think there's anything suspicious going on there? Is there something that I don't really know what the question is I'm asking, but what's your take on the missing month, if you have a take on it at all? This goes to a couple of people asking about it in the side chat, and it's something.
Yeah, I don't really know about that whole missing month thing, to be honest.
Okay.
13 months. I could imagine it might have something to do, you know, maybe with the whole Christian thing about Judas and the disciples and like, 13 being unlucky, but. Yeah, I mean, it's not something that I've come across in my.
You've come across, no, because it's honestly, man, if you start picking the label off that, you will fall off a rabbit hole edge into multiple subreddits, and you'll be like, "All right, my weekend is over now." So yeah, it's one of those ones, and I just thought I'd ask you about it. Okay, so we know that the governments, they aren't really. They're a bunch of rascals, Dan, let's be honest, right? They have a tendency for being a bit of a rascal. And I don't know what's going on right now, Dan, right? We've got a war going on that seems to just be, apparently a nuke apparently went off the other day. No big deal, Dan, no big deal, right? We've got alien UFO, we've got we've got the UFO files, right? And now we're getting the alien files, like, you know, there's only one stack of files we want, Dan, right? You know, there's 3 million of them. We're still waiting on those. So is this a distraction from that? Is all of this just an Epstein diversion, right? Or are we missing something bigger, right? Because, or is Trump just like, this is my last turn. I'm going to whip out as many top secret things as I possibly can and just YOLO this situation. I could take any of these answers. But do you not feel like there's a very, but it feels like the angry dog's been cornered and forced into what's happening right now. Do you think that there is something cosmic that is making all of this madness unfold?
Well, one thing I would say is just to go back to this 6,000 year reset, right? This is not an ordinary time. This is a once in 6,000 years time in certain sense. If you look at that Saturn Neptune cycle. So things are supposed to be weird. They're supposed to be weird right now. And if they weren't weird, something would probably be wrong. So, but you're right. I mean, there is a weird kind of convergence of stuff happening right now with, you know, with the whole, again, as you mentioned, the Epstein files stuff, the UFO files being released, war, and the sort of seeming breakdown of the international order and all of that kind of thing. What I would say is, for one thing, I'm kind of skeptical like you about the UFO aliens invading kind of narrative, so to speak. If you trace back the history of when information has come out about this stuff, it seems to come out roughly at the same time as they release big movies about this stuff.
You're about to talk about the Spielberg movie.
Right, Dan,
the glasses are coming off now. Okay, because I'm not being funny, right? My arsehole clenched up when I seen that trailer, right? I was like, and you see the first one and you're like, oh, it's all about aliens. And then you see the extended trailer and you're like, this is MK Ultra. This is me basically sitting down and going, I am going into Dan's mind. Shana-na-na-na. Like, what's going on, Dan? Give me your views on it, Dan. I need to know.
I'm just trying to figure it out, just like you. But what I would say is, when I've looked back and I'm studying these cycles, looking at important cyclical moments in the history of this UFO thing. And for example, you go back to 1993, where Stephen Greer launches his UFO disclosure project.
Okay.
That year, you know, that's a pretty significant thing. He's suddenly bringing out all of these military government whistleblowers that say that they've been working on UFOs and so forth. The same year, we have the start of the release of the X-Files. And you can go back further and further and just see that there seem to be coincidences when the stuff is coming out and when fiction is being released on this subject. And it makes me a little bit suspicious.
Let me just pause you there for a second, because there's a theory about the universe, right? And how, and we're going to get a bit tree huggy here, Dan, right? The universal language of love, right? And how there's this thought that and karma and the cosmic forces, right? But there's this force, always this underlying thing of free will, whether it's in religion or anything, right? And they talk about how we have to welcome in the evil. The evil has to show itself to us, so we're fully aware of how much of a bunch of twats they are, and yet we're dumb enough to still say, come on in, right? And I feel like you're talking about exactly that, right? By releasing these movies, they're going, well, cosmically, we've told these morons. Do you see what I mean? And
yeah.
I know it's a bit out there, okay? But at the same time, there's a man in Florida who's built a castle out of coral, right? Just somehow, okay? So there's definitely lost knowledge out there. And what's your take on that? Do you feel like there is this unexplainable mystery that has this certain algorithm that runs across the top of this whole subject?
What I've come to suspect, and you know, this, I'm not the first person to say this, and this is from reading people who know a lot more than me about these kinds of things, but just after sort of spending, you know, a few years delving into astrology, but also all these conspiracies and so forth, mm-hmm. is that there seems to be at some deep level a kind of program that's aimed at kind of molding our consciousness and what we believe about the world over time. And I don't know, like, to what level is there a humans collaborating in that, a humans driving that? Is it that these things are driven sort of purely by kind of impersonal forces or spiritual forces that we can't see? Or are humans kind of at the wheel, so to speak? And perhaps, you know, you might wonder about whether certain secret societies and so forth are getting together and making decisions behind the scenes to drive society in a certain way. And they might have, as a lot of people have said, you know, and I'm sure, like, I'm thinking here of things that, say, Wernher von Braun said about how they might use a UFO threat to sort of bolster the national security state. I've come to wonder if perhaps there are certain factions that are kind of using this whole narrative and have been rolling it out for a long time with the specific purpose of maybe trying to mold us into a kind of one world state, which you could imagine would be easier if we all thought, well, we're all humans, but there are these aliens out there that are threatening us. It's easier to kind of say, well, it doesn't really matter if you're China and we're, you know, Britain.
Of course, bro. You know? If we're one world, who are you going to fight with? If we're one big country and we're one government, who are you going to fight with? Do you know what I'm saying? It's that madness. Okay, so, right. I'm going to pull you back into my crazy ADHD now, okay? And I'm sorry. So, we're this fancy spinning ball. And I'm speaking loosely, right? We're a fancy spinning ball. There's no other balls like us in our solar system that we've found yet, right? You ever watch Star Trek? Do you know what the Prime Directive is? Right? What the Prime Directive is, they're not allowed to make contact with a species until that species hits a certain level of evolution. No, Dan! It seems to me like every possible technology that can control us and give us cancer real fast has evolved brilliantly. Okay? Everything else has gotten worse, bro! Everything else has gotten worse! It seems like as long as we're designing something, right, for you to sit on your arse in your house, terrified and consuming, baby, we are light years ahead, okay? But anything else, transport, health, education, like, I don't know about you, but I was raised by a single mother, right? And she worked like 50 hours a week and made this shit look easy, Dan, right? She raised two boys. We were on a summer holiday every year. We had a nice house, went to nice schools. She had nothing. She had like $5 in her pocket for the whole time she was raising us. What is going on? Because I like outside. Outside's nice, okay? But it seems to be falling apart, right? And it seems to me that if we've got these aliens, right, there's got to be more to them not coming down and saving our asses, you know, from all the fucking files, right? There's got to be more to the reason for them coming down than them just going, well, we made an agreement with an orange guy, right, and a crazy guy in China and a crazy Russian guy, and we're so vastly smarter than every other race that we're going to go, they've got it, guys. They're treating everyone well. So they're right, because other than that, if it's not a Prime Directive thing, bro, those motherfuckers have got some answers to do. Like, why are we trusting? If they're just hanging about up there going waiting for something, then they're in cahoots. This is cahooting. There's a whole bunch of cahootling going on here. The only thing that saves them from me, bro, because every other reason, we need something now. We need the cat. We need the cancer cured. Okay, we need like the poverty gone. We need like stuff growing where people can eat. Like, there is stuff going on in this world that if you're a super intelligent race and you think we're going to let you get away with watching all this suffering because you're in cahoots with it doesn't make sense. So the Prime Directive is the only thing that saves them. Do you think there's some logic to that theory, right? I know it was a bit long-winded, but do you think there's some logic to that?
There is some logic to it. I would say I don't really necessarily believe that the UFO phenomenon, for example, is aliens, and therefore this question about whether, you know, whether or not they should interfere. I think we probably want to rely on what some of the spiritual traditions have said about this, because people have been thinking about this stuff for thousands of years and, you know, meditating into it and coming back with insights. And so I'm not sure that there is some sort of prime directive. I think spirits always try to, or there are always spirits that are kind of working through us. Good spirits, bad spirits, spirits that have their own agendas that, you know, don't really align with ours, but are sort of not necessarily against ours. I think all these kind of things are happening. I think we're constantly being influenced by different forces. But on the thing that you mentioned about things not seemingly advancing, except for those, you know, except for the devices, except for the screens, I've seen that as well. And I'm right with you on that. It feels like everything kind of stopped. And if you took away, the screens, if you took away the phones, there's not really much that's changed over, say, 100 years, really.
You're so right. It's not even 100 years. Like, other than the paint jobs on the shapes of the cars, right? If we went back a quarter of a century and you just looked up from your screen, it's going to look pretty damn the same, bro. I mean, the cars might look a little bit different. There's a good chance if you're in a council house, those windows are the same windows from a quarter of a century ago too. You know what I'm saying? Those some thin paint bad boys. So it kind of makes me wonder, right? If we've not advanced and there is this prime directive, and again, whatever, it doesn't need to be aliens, can insert whatever mystical force here, right? They're not going to let, our powers that be are going to slow stuff down then, right? They're going to drag it out. You've seen what they've done with the internet, right? Oh, we can give them 100 megabyte internet, or we can bleed it out at a megabyte a year, right? That's what they do. So we have to assume that those data patterns are going to repeat, okay? And those data patterns tell me that the government is so dependent on weaponized incompetence that they can do things in such a terrible way. Then we are so conditioned to go, oh, well, it's the government. They're stupid. Bro, that's the government. Those are the people that are in charge of our lives. Why have we been so conditioned to accept their incompetence? Because with that level of weaponization of that incompetence, see when someone eventually drops a nuke down, right? They're going to argue that we need to take human decision-making for the greater humanity out of the world's decision-making. We need to trust the machines, Dan. We need to bring in Super Twitter to make all the decisions. And that shit will happen. Do you know why, Dan? Because they've mastered making you beg for the things you don't want, Dan. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like it's coming. I feel like there is this, we need to convince the world that the great shift that's coming is because the humanity should no longer depend on the inconsistencies of man's own decision-making. I don't even know what that rant was about. I don't even know where I started with that, Dan. I just went off on that was ADHD incarnate. But I feel like it's all building up to, oh no, I remember now what the point was. I feel like it's all building up to something. But they're not going to let us get to a point to advance, because once we advance, they lose religion, they lose science, and we see ourselves as more than just this world, right? And if we're more than just this world, then there's other things that can save us and can keep us safe than the guardians that are here. And do you think we'll ever get to a point where, do you feel like we have been really slowed down to a almost snail's pace? Can we actually catch back up before these massive shifts and changes happen?
Yeah, I've thought something similar. It definitely feels like technology isn't advancing, and then you wonder, like, well, where's it going? Why aren't they curing some of these diseases? Is it happening because it doesn't make them money to cure diseases? Yeah. You know, it just makes money to treat chronic disease. You know, definitely, there's absolutely stuff going on like that. I think one of the things that I've seen from studying these cycles and studying history is I think that one of the sort of one of the intrinsic fact, like sort of ways that our society works these days, is that there is an element of secrecy, and that the powers that be, probably the banks and financiers and corporations and so forth, I think they are probably keeping some knowledge back and some sort of stuff that could be put out into the world for a lot of good. I think they are keeping it behind. And I think that's a little bit just kind of how the world works at this time in history, unfortunately. And I do think probably it will change at some point. One of the things, for example, that I found looking back into the past is that there are a lot of reasons to think, for example, that America was discovered by explorers way before 1492. Joseph P. Farrell, the author, has written on a lot of this kind of stuff, conspiracy, history, and so forth, has written a lot about this. And there was reportedly a voyage to America in 1398 and possibly some others earlier than that. But the powers that be wanted to keep that knowledge behind for some time until they could position themselves to take advantage of it. So the Italian city-states, who were the kind of richest powers in Europe at that time, kind of had this information but needed to reposition themselves on the Atlantic so that they could exploit America, because they knew that there was gold there. So they kind of kept this information back. And then when Columbus went there in 1492, this was kind of like the public rollout of this information. And I think maybe something similar happens in our world today. I think there is stuff being kept back. I think you're right about that. And something that I've wondered is, maybe you'll probably, you know, be well aware that they're building this kind of digital control grid right now, central bank digital currencies, digital ID, AI, you know, you put all these things together and you can create a digital system that can essentially have total surveillance and control over people, right? This is something that's happening now. And it seems to me that they are in a bit of a rush to put this in place. Like, that's what I've noticed. It just seems like governments around the world are all in lockstep bringing this stuff out, and they seem to be really in a rush to do it. And I don't quite know why, but one thing that I've wondered is maybe that they want this in place before they bring out certain technologies. And that could be the case. It's that maybe they think that certain technologies are a bit too destabilizing or volatile, and they might lose their own power. So they need the control grid needs to be in place before they can come out with stuff.
Well, it's interesting, right? Because there's a couple of points I'm going to make. The first point is that, do you remember the iPhone 1, right? Do you remember how shit it was, right? It was a touchscreen, and we all were like, this is it. We all just need to be on this touchscreen now. It's amazing. It's amazing, right? And then they've slowly groomed us into our wallet being in there. There's now got an HD camera, a tracking device, a microphone, a GPS locator. All of your photographs, everything is now in this phone. And it just kind of happened, right? Like, could you imagine if they had tried to sell you the iPhone 1 with iPhone 16 features? You'd be like, what? You want me to what with it? You want me to pay? You want me to what? You want me to open my car and my house and pay? It's mad, right? But it happened. And it happened in a way that, if you mean we have to give up the TikToks and the doom scrolling and go back to normal life, I can't do that. Can't do that now because I've got to do the doom scrolling, right? And that's what they're going to do with all this. The digital ID, everything's going to come in. It's the same with the internet. Have they actually saved any kids with the Internet Safety Act? And I'll wait. If anyone wants to look it up, me and Dan will make a coffee and we'll wait. Okay, if anyone can find any kids that were saved by the internet, I know 15,000 people in the UK that are in prison for tweets. None of them are kids. So we need an event, Dan, where we beg for all this. Otherwise, the UK is like right about there, right? For everyone just losing their damn mind. Okay, we're like, there's a large percentage of the people who are ready to cause some shenanigans. And it's like, you know, whenever they try and mess with the NHS, the country goes bananas and grannies riot and everyone's going crazy. Like, we're edging towards this again. But the problem is, and we're not going to get into that, but they've brought a lot of external factors into the UK that are problematic. But this grooming method of the iPhone 1 to 16 analogy is exactly where this is going to go. And do you know that PayPal runs off of a supercute computer and an algorithm that makes decisions about your finances that the staff have no way of knowing or superseding, right? I found that about 7 or 8 years ago when I was doing some business and whatnot. And that was scary then, being told that the people who are the customer service cannot explain how any of the decisions are made by the algorithm at PayPal. And that's PayPal, right? This is how it's going to be. So one day you're going to wake up and you're not going to be a British citizen because someone's put a dot in the wrong place when they've updated the code of an AI mother hive mind, right? So with that grooming system, with that grooming analogy in mind, do you feel like we have to stop this now? Like, we, how can we put the brakes on all of this if we know that this is just part of a 10-year cycle to pull us into something that we can't even fathom yet?
I think about this a lot.
Oh, God. Like
all the time. All the time.
Oh, God, Dad.
I mean, it's the big question of this time, I think. And it's really scary, honestly, because no government in history has had this level of power. They've never had this ability to snoop on every person and potentially control every single transaction that anybody's making. And I think, well, we can do two things, right? We can support alternatives. We can make sure we back things like cash. As long as cash still exists, then they don't have total visibility over what we're all doing. And we're still able to transact among ourselves and, you know, trade and all of that kind of thing. So supporting things like that is really important. But also, and this is the sort of maybe the less pleasant possibility, but you might want to start thinking about, well, you know, if they do bring this in, like, how am I gonna live with it? How am I gonna retain my sanity, my dignity, my sovereignty, and all of that? You know, and people have lived through attempts to make totalitarian societies before. You know, it's been done in the 20th century, and you know,
but they're not wrapped up in a freaking device with apps. That's the problem. It's like, yeah, they've nailed this.
Yeah, well, they've made us want it. They've made us choose the totalitarian.
They've made us beg for it, Dan. They've made us beg for the things we don't want, and that's what they're so damn good at. And it's kind of wild because none of us could have seen the iPhone 16 looking at the iPhone 1, right? It really worries me to think of what the digital ID plan version 16 is going to be, you know, what events are going to take place. And regardless of the war that's going on right now, there is something building up in the UK that hasn't even boiled over yet. That is, did you hear about the bombs on the dams out in America?
No.
Right? There's a big dam out in the south, Alabama. Alabama. Big dam, right? They were doing maintenance on this dam, Dan, right? And they found two massive explosives at the base of this dam. And wouldn't you know it? A whole bunch of alien stuff in the news, okay? And it's quite concerning that these things were discovered, right? Now, bigger picture, Dan. When we talk about governments doing things to make things happen, right? That reeked of that, okay? Because, I mean, I don't know how technically skilled a lot of terror people are, right? But I feel like sticking explosives at the bottom of a dam isn't the easiest job, okay? Like, I feel like someone's going to have Googled something and downloaded a PDF and highlighted some stuff on a printout in order to do that. And it just got quashed in the news, bro. It got quashed in the news, and it makes me wonder how many other dams, other locations are going to be used to usher in a digital ID global control version one, you know? Because I think they've realized no one's given a rat's ass about their diversions, okay? Everyone still wants these files released. We want the files released, okay? And America will kill millions of their own people to distract the hell out of things, you know? And the CGI reenactment of what would have happened to the surrounding areas if this dam had blown was way beyond a nuclear blast, bro. Okay, it was way beyond the barbarism of having to see where the missile came from and been able to tie it back to somebody. And it's these destructions of life, but the maintaining of infrastructure almost, that seems to be this scary new warfare. I feel like dropping nukes, it's just too expensive. The cleanup's too expensive, you know? So have you heard, I imagine you haven't heard anything about that, because a lot of people have. But with that, if you take that with a pinch of salt, but assume that it's real, we're living in that world. I mean, do you feel like they're going to create more events that are going to create more fear and control?
Yes, I do, because I think that's how governments govern these days. That's how they do it, and it's as much in the mind as anything else. Now, one of the things that we talk about in astrology is that there is a certain cycle, the Jupiter-Saturn cycle, which basically these conjunctions happen every 20 years. Jupiter meets Saturn, so you get this 20-year cycle beginning. But what also happens is that because of the geometry of the zodiac and the way things are configured and so forth, you tend to get conjunctions in the same of the four elements over and over again for about 200 years. And then the conjunctions move to the next element. And so you get this 800-year cycle, 200 years of fire, then 200 years of earth, 200 years of air, 200 years of water. And you might know something about what the different elements are said to mean in astrology, alchemy, magic, and so forth. But we've been through a age of earth, which basically ended in 2020. We're now in an age of air for the pretty much most of the next 200 years. Now, air is the element of communication, connection, information. You know, it's more connected to the mind, to thoughts. Earth is, you know, more about concrete structure, reality, and so forth. And what you can see if you look back in history is that in these air ages, which is what we're in now, there's much more effort put into controlling thoughts and ideas. That's what it's all about. And so, for example, the last age of air was when the Inquisition was born, right? So the church is trying to control what people think and burn heretics and all of that kind of thing. So there's a lot of resonance between our time and that time, like the 13th, 14th centuries. So this is just how things are going to work in this era. Governments are going to govern by controlling what you think about stuff. And they might even be screwing stuff up, and they don't really care. What they care about is what you say about it, or what you believe about it, what news you get about it. So there's a sort of element of kind of, I'm not sure how much can be done about that, because a lot of it is driven by, I think, the technology that we have. It's just kind of almost inevitable based on the fact that everybody's on these devices all the time, that people are going to seek to control the information and what you believe about the world.
We can even take it one step further down the evil path. It's not like if we put our devices down right now, we've been left in a society where we're all friends with our neighbors. Society's gone. All of that's gone, right? The local mindset of us all being together, the brotherhood of man, is gone, right? So psychologically, people only have this now, right? So if we start trying to pry it out of their hands, I think a lot of people see their entire existence in this. You know, think about it. We live in a world where as long as you've got one corner of your house looking like $1 million, you can fake it till you make it. You can project a life and you can be something that you're not, which is ironic, because it used to be the exact same mindset, but in a societal way, where you wanted to go out and show people that you have a talent or a skill or share knowledge or interact. Whereas now it's the falsehood of projection. And it's quite a scary path that we're falling down. Man, listen, this is going to be the nightmare fuel for my fever demon for the next couple of days, Dan. I'm not going to lie. Okay, look, let's do like a conclusion to all of this. How screwed are we, Dan, on a scale of 1 to 10 on the Dan scale? Where are we sitting right now, right? And 10 being there's no coming back. We are going into a dystopian. I am no longer Dan. I am human 44325. I will conform. I will eat my paste and take my nutrition tablets. And 1 being not that. How close to this are we, bro? Like, where do you reckon we're at?
I want to say we're at 5.
Do you? I know you want to say it, Dan.
I don't want to say it, so I'm gonna say it. You know, I don't want to ever believe we're completely screwed, right? Things don't look good, but ultimately, you know, the human spirit finds a way through these things, and people have been through far, far worse than what most of us have been through so far. Even though, you know, things look bad, I don't deny that. So I don't think there's any cause to be too distressed. And I think what a lot of people are doing right now, and I've been that person myself, I've been doing it, you know, quite recently, is kind of feeling like, oh, these problems have got to be solved. I've got to do something. What, you know, and really taking too much on your own shoulders, as if like the whole world's problems are yours, and it's just not how it is, right? All you can really do is look after the small part of the world that is yours to look after, and that might not just include you, but maybe, you know, your family, your friends, people who are close to you, and just think about that, right? We don't all have to take the whole world's problems on our shoulders. So that's what I would say to that.
I'm with you. Somebody was asking if I was going to do the queue. I've not seen any questions. I've asked a couple of them as it's been going on. Amy, you forgot. Okay, where's Amy's question? Hang on. Oh, Amy. Okay, let me see. Purple A. Where are you, Amy? Let me try and find your question. There has to be protests around the world for abolishing digital ID. There literally just was. Well, I mean, it was technically for free speech. But we've had two now in the UK that are all circulating around free speech. The people who are Israeli in charge is building a new Apple iPhones with surveillance built in. They've already had surveillance built in since day one. What you're referring to there is software that coincides with the Apple update that allows the user of this software to access any device freely. And it's very terrifying, but that's why you don't use Apple. I mean, listen, come on. Android all the way, baby. I think that was the only one. Amy, if I've missed anything, let me know. Okay, yeah, agreed. There will be a fake alien invasion correlated by if the alien wanted to attach to us, they would have a long time. Well, see, I agree and disagree. I'm telling you, it's the Star Trek freaking analogy of the, whatever it was, I can't even remember what it's called now, the space directive. That's the only thing that gives the aliens a loophole for me. Because it would make sense, right? Could you imagine if they came down with, like, I don't know, a table saw, right? When we were cavemen, right? Like, I feel like we've got to get to a certain level. I feel like it has to be that. Otherwise, they're just a bunch of bellends. Because what are you doing? Like, what are you doing, aliens? Like, you can't just come here and stick things in people's butts and then leave. Like, you got to fix some stuff. But then also in that case, in that mindset, Dan, right, using the human analogy to judge aliens, if we've got a whole bunch of people that are following the rules, we're going to have a bunch of dicks that aren't following the rules who are against us, and a bunch of them that are like the Rebel Alliance who are with us, right? And this is, do you know what? We're not even going to go down this road, right? But all I'm saying is, when in the vastness of the universe, when it comes to aliens, when it comes to the great unknown, if they are a sentient, free-thinking group of individuals, then there's going to be resistance. Then there's going to be terror. There has to. Because if we're all bound by the same great cosmos, then the same great cosmos rules must apply. And it has to be that. It must be. I mean, again, I don't know anything. I'm just a guy on the internet. But it fascinates me, Dan. And just before we wrap this up, what have you got coming up next? Like, what is next in Dan World? Have you got projects coming up? Have you got any videos coming out? Is there anything you want to tell us about? Let us know.
Yeah, I have videos coming out every week. I'll have a video out this weekend, forecast for June. And I'm also doing a live stream for my members, which is actually about how I make my channel, my YouTube channel. So I'm going to be explaining how I put it together, how I do research, how I do everything. So anybody who's kind of interested in doing the kind of stuff that I do, if you happen to know what I do, then you can join that stream. You can just head to my website, worldastrologyreport.com/livestreams.
Okay. Listen, we've just found Amy's question, right? So just let me throw this one at you. Are the UFOs really from the hidden civilization who have been here for years? Antarctica, you know, let's throw in, you know, hollow earth, spaceships coming out of the sea. Is there an argument for it being less off-world but more on-world? We just don't know about it. When it comes to the flying phenomenon.
Look, I don't think anybody knows for sure the answer, and it could well be that there's more than one. I think it's possible that there are more than one of these things happens to be the answer. I'm not sure if these are necessarily kind of physical beings that always live on our planet, though. I'm more inclined to think that they are, say, spiritual beings who can come in and out of our reality. But who knows? I don't know, and I think anything is possible, quite honestly.
Mm, yeah, I agree. There's too many bizarre things that just keep occurring. And like, I'm not being funny. If we're still discovering like ants and like types of monkey, right? Do you know how long we've been looking for stuff and writing it down, Dan? A long time. And no one's found an entire species of monkey or a lost tribe because we just haven't walked over there yet. And we think we know it all, bro. Like, have we even reached the bottom of the ocean yet, Dan? I don't think we have, right? Have we reached the very, very, very bottom of that Mariana madness? Have we? I don't know if we have. Dan's like, mate, listen, I look up off the planet. I don't look down into the water. Okay. So when it comes to all of the great mysteries, it is, your guess is as good as ours. All right. But when it comes to the astrology, Dan's guess is the one, because literally I would be skimming the papers for my astrology on my star sign. It is a much vaster topic than this, and history has shown us it would be pretty much in a lot of our best interest if we paid attention to the lost knowledge, what's up above us, and how things line up and seem to shape not just the planet, but our cultures, our humanity, and our journey on this spinning ball. So, Dan, listen, thank you so much for being here. It's been a great conversation, and I really, really hope you have a fantastic week, and it's been great to meet you. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks so much. It's been great.
All right, listen, thank you to the mods. Thank you to the Sean Atwood channel. There's a very good chance I'm going to be back live on the Sean Atwood channel at 5 o'clock, because Ron's been writing a lot of music and wants to talk about it. And then he's live again at 8 o'clock on the Sean Atwood channel. It's a whole day. So listen, Dan, thank you. Thank you to the mods. Thank you to the Sean Atwood channel. I'll see you guys next time. And for me, as always, I'm Ron Swanson. Be safe out there, guys. Peace.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the States in the Bluff Mobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.